Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation scripture reading for this evening can be found in the Gospel according to John, the 17th chapter. John chapter 17. But first we will sing from Psalter 129, stanzas 1, 3, and 4. Rejoice, ye people. Homage give to God with voice of triumph sing. He ruleth in dread majesty, the great, the universal King. 1, 3, and 4 of Psalter 129.
Thank you. We repeat scripture reading will be John chapter 17, but let us first read the 12 articles of our undoubted Catholic Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. John chapter 17. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from all the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sake I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them, thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, and thou who dwellest on high, thou who art in the greatness of thy glory, thou who inhabitest eternity, we here upon thy footstool are not able to enter into the least part of thy glory. O give to us hearts of true humility. And when we attempt to draw nigh unto thee, the true, the living God, for thou wast dead and art alive, and thou hast for thy church paid the price in order that thou may receive gifts for men, that thou may bestow them upon them. Oh, that thou may look upon each and every one of us when we are together in this evening round about thy holy word in a special service to commemorate thy ascension into heaven. And thou sayest, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And then, Lord, we wait for thy power. We wait for the exercise of thy power. We wait for the opening of thy hand. We wait for the stretching out of thine arm. For thou knowest what is declared in thy holy word, that we through our fall have made ourselves dead in trespasses and in sins. And in us there is no power, for we are cast out in the open field, and we are lying polluted in our own blood. And then there is no man that is able to raise himself from the dead, though our responsibility is so great as high as the heavens. And though then we will have to go lost because of our own fault, and yet it is not in our power to grant unto ourselves that new birth, and that thou sayest is so necessary. But we can read in thy word how that thou hast ascended into heaven, and that all power is given unto thee. O Lord, we beseech thee also in this evening hour that thou would stretch forth thine arm, and that thy power may be experienced, may be felt in the midst of us for the raising up of new life. O that thou who hast finished thy work here below, and thou who hast merited everything that is necessary for thy church, and who hast risen again, who hast ascended to the right hand of thy Father, Oh, that thou may also give the application in the days in which we are living. For thou knowest that thy spirit goes not out as heretofore. Oh, we can read of it in thy word. We can read of it in the books of history of our fathers. How thou didst from thy high and thy holy place speak the word to send forth thy spirit. Oh, then it did go forth to stop sinners in their way. To raise up new ones unto that life that goes out with holy longings unto thee, that stops a man in his mad career, that turns him about, that causes him to mourn and to weep over sin, and that grants love in his heart for thee, the true and the living God. O Lord, is it not power that is necessary in the heart and in the life of young and old? O, we beseech thee, and then as thou sittest at the right hand of power, that thou may look upon us even in this evening hour, and when there is no merit to be found in us, and when there is nothing that we can plead upon from our own side. For we have left thee days without number, and there is no man that has a desire and a longing and a hungering after thee. Oh, it is thy work, O Lord, to turn us, and we shall be turned. Do then draw us, that we might run after thee, young and old, and that it may be experienced in the heart and in the life of each and every one of us, that indeed the Lord is alive, and that thou sittest on the right hand of power. Oh, that it may be experienced also in the midst of thy church, in and amongst thy own people. For thou knowest all that they experience in that life that thou hast given. For it is a warfare wherein they also have no power. Lord, then they have no might against that great company that cometh against them. Oh, then the temptations are too strong for that evil and that wretched and that miserable heart that is always hankering after iniquity and sin. Oh, Lord, thou knowest how often that they must fear. Lord, that thou may look upon them also in this day. Oh, that thou may give unto them a little token of thy nearness and of thy presence. Wilt thou show unto them, wilt thou reveal unto them thyself, all that thou hast accomplished, and where thou now sittest in that blessed favor of thy Father. Oh, that thy glory may be seen a little by a true saving faith, even in this evening hour. That the people may be a little encouraged upon their way here below. Do look upon them, young and old. Oh, Lord, we are so carnal. We are so of the earth, earthy. And we may speak and we may listen in this evening to that which is so heavenly. Oh, then if thou givest us not words and matter, then we cannot speak. Oh, if thou givest us not hearts to understand, then it shall fall unto the ground. Oh, we beseech thee, then wilt thou take us up together in this hour. Oh, that thou would fill our hearts with a new affection for thee, and a desire and a longing for thee, as the heart panteth after the water brooks. O Lord, that thou may remember also those that are not able to be here, those that may have a desire. O, that thou may remember them also in their places, her that lies in the hospital. Thou knowest the condition of her body. O Lord, the weakness, the great weakness. O, could it please thee to remember her in mercy. O, that thou may yet spare her life. That thou may give the doctors wisdom, but alone her life that comes from thee, the giving of that life and the sparing of that life. O Lord, could it please thee yet to heal her in thy mercy? O visit her also with a word from above. O prepare her and us all together for that day that we must appear before thy great judgment seat. Also the young people and the children. For thou knowest how quickly that our life can change. The little girl that recovers at home. Thou givest a little recovery and strength. Oh, that thou may give her patience also. For it is a long way. Oh, that thou may be near unto her and her parents together to strengthen them in this way. And all those that have special needs known unto thee, Lord, thou knowest where that they are. Be with those that have become old and all those that do mourn the losses of their loved ones, young or old, together. That thou may remember all sick and afflicted ones. Wilt thou cause also that we may seek that place where there shall be no sickness anymore, and when the tears shall be wiped away. Lord, that thou may look upon us in this evening then. Wilt thou help us in the bringing of thy holy word? Wilt thou stand on our right and on our left? Strengthen us in our body. Oh, give thy spirit in a rich measure, not alone to make it an easy task for us, but could it be especially to bind thy word upon the hearts in this evening? Oh, that that may be the fruit, that that may be for thy honor and for thy glory and for the coming of thy kingdom. For there are yet more that must be brought in. For the world still stands. Oh, give our young people, our children, and each and every one together a little encouragement in that way. Oh, that that time is still extended, which is so short yet. But there is yet a little time, oh, that we may be given to use it in this evening, even in this very hour, and that we may receive ears to hear, and hearts to understand. Give us attention. Oh, give us simplicity in the bringing of thy word. And wilt thou give it power into the hearts? Forgive and keep us from all sin. For Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 58, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Ye gates, lift your heads. The glad summons obey. Ye doors everlasting, wide open the way. The King of all glory, high honors await. The King of all glory shall enter in state. All stanzas of Psalter 58. congregation, there came a day that David said, I shall now one day perish at the hand of Saul. There was a man with the promise of the Lord. There was a man who had also many tokens from the Lord. And that often the Lord had been near to him, that the Lord had been, as it were, at his side. And yet, there came a day that David said, I shall now one day perish at the hand of Saul. The disciples, they also had such a day. They cried out, Lord, save us. We perish. They were called of the Lord into his service. They were instructed by the Lord. And yet there came a day that they cried out, Lord, save us. We perish. That is not strange language in the life of God's church. That it is in the day of their trouble that they are crying unto the Lord. Though the Lord has given them so many tokens, that they have received so many blessings, and that they are called by the Lord, that they are given a new life. And yet, fearing to perish. And why? Mostly, it is because of indwelling sin that they had not expected should remain in their life. The church of God that is standing on a rock, that is immovably firm, that can never sink away, and yet how little rest does that church of God have? How little knowledge of the firmness of that state that is not a foundation that is in the will of man. No, but that is a foundation that is lying in the will of God Himself. Therefore, it is unchangeable. Therefore, it is absolutely sure. And that we wish to see with the help of the Lord in this evening, out of the words of our text from John 17, verse 24. John 17, verse 24. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovedst me before the foundation of the world. So far, the words of our text. Christ's last will and testament. First, to whom it is addressed. Second, the request that it contained. Christ's last will and testament. First, to whom it is addressed. Second, the request which it contained. It is Congregation Ascension Day. That is, children, the second step in the exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ. What was the first step? Do you remember? That is his resurrection. And after his resurrection, his ascension. And after he has ascended, we read he has sat down at the right hand of God. That is the third step. And finally, that fourth step is yet to come, that he is soon going to be seen on the clouds of heaven, coming again to judge the quick and the dead. How greatly significant are each of those steps for his church. That is, as the steps of his humiliation, also the steps of his exaltation. Each of them, but in this evening, the second one, that is his ascension. The disciples, they had never expected the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even after all that he had said to them, still that death, and that has come so suddenly, that has come so unexpectedly. And after all that the Lord Jesus had said to his disciples, then also the resurrection of the Lord that was not expected by them. They have not looked for it, and therefore it was such a great surprise to them. But now we can read the same concerning the ascension of the Lord, how that those disciples are not expecting this to happen at all. And then the Lord Jesus is speaking to them, and we can read the disciples, they are asking him, they say, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And the Lord, he is giving them this answer. It is not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Thus not everything that is said by the Lord unto his disciples. But we can read that he is leading them out as far, we read, as unto Bethany. And there we read that he is lifting up his hands and he is blessing his disciples. And there we read, and it came to pass as he blessed them that he was parted from them and he was received up into heaven. So suddenly, so unexpectedly, so that those disciples, they are standing there and they are gazing into heaven. And then they cannot believe what their eyes are now seeing, that they are looking and that they are looking until that cloud is receiving him out of their sight. And then we see those disciples, they are still gazing after the Lord Jesus. So that the Lord, he is sending his angels unto them, and that they are speaking unto them, that they are explaining unto them, that they are asking them, why stand ye gazing into heaven at this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner from heaven once again. Oh, that church, and that church is going in a way that is so unexpected, though they are told so much beforehand, though they may read so much about the way that the Lord is leading his people in this world, and then still every step of the way is by them personally unexpected. Sunday we have heard that farewell sermon of the Lord Jesus to his disciples, that he says to you, "And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe." And now we see the fruit of it, because those disciples, oh, then they are not mourning. No, but we read they worshipped him. And they returned unto Jerusalem, we read, with great joy, and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. But now after that farewell sermon, then we read that the Lord Jesus prays. And that is a prayer that is recorded in the Bible. We read often that the Lord Jesus prayed, but we do not have those prayers, and most of them recorded in the Bible. And here we have such a wonderful prayer, and a wonder that the Lord gives us to look into the heart, as it were, of the Lord Jesus, as he presents his requests, making them known unto God. That is called the prayer of the high priest, or the high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus. Does the Lord Jesus need so to pray? Does not the Lord himself have that same will as his Father? In that sense, he needs no prayer. And yet, he is sanctifying prayer as the means by which he is going to receive his desires. Thus, he shows to his church and that way, and that they also should follow him in order that they may receive the desires of his heart, of their heart. And our text that is now found in the midst of this prayer. And we say, Christ's last will and testament. Why? What do we read? We read it says, "Father, I will." Before we die, then we also set our house in order when it is well. And then we make ourselves a will, boys and girls, that is a document, and wherein is stated what shall take place after a person dies. And then he expresses what his will is for his children, for his property. And now the Lord Jesus, he says, "I will." So it is contained in this prayer what the Lord Jesus' desires are after that he shall die. To whom does he present those desires? Well, to whom do we give our will? We give our last will to the executor of that will. He is named by us. And then it is the duty of that person to carry out what is the last will of a man. And now we read the Lord Jesus before that he dies, that he is leaving this will. With whom? He leaves it with his Father. He says, "Father, I will." Oh, who is more able to execute that will according to the desire of the Lord Jesus? Because they are one in their will, because they are one in their desires, in their intentions. There is are none that know him as his Father knows him, as they are one in union, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? Who has more power to execute that will of Christ than his Father does? Father, I will. Father, what is that? That is indicating a relation. We all know what that means. You do too, children. You know just what that means. When the Lord Jesus, he says, Father. And why do you know what that means? Well, you say, because I also have a Father. And thus, the Lord is expressing the relation which is known also unto men. That is a very sweet relation, the relation between a Father and his Son. And now when the Lord Jesus, his thoughts go beyond his death, and they go unto his resurrection, and that time of his ascension into heaven, and then he is thinking about his Father. Do we do the same, congregation? Do we think about heaven so that we think about bliss? So that we think about that there is there no misery? Do we think then about the benefits that we may receive? That we may think that there is happiness? But do we think that there is God? Because the Lord Jesus' thoughts, they go out, we read, unto his Father. And when his thoughts go to his Father, then that relation that gives a warming, that gives a warming of his heart. He is returning. He has come from him. And now he returns to him. And thus, children, as when we are away from our Father, when we are away from our mother, and then our thoughts, they go back to our Father, to our mother, and then there is a desire that we may see them again. And so the Lord Jesus' thoughts, they are going on to his Father. Father. Oh, with what great freedom the Lord Jesus calls God his Father. He may know that he is his Father. He may know that he is his Son, that he is his beloved Son, that he is the only begotten Son of the Father. Many people, they call God Father. But we have to fear that there is no good basis, that there is no good foundation, that many are calling God their Father. And then it does not help that we will call him so if that relation that is not there. Or is there not a people who so desire that they may be able to call God their Father? And that they may know that they themselves are a son? That they say with Newton, 'tis the point I long to know. Am I his or am I not? Because that is a people that know a new relation, a blessed relation, a most comforting relation. But there is so little knowledge of it. Or is there a desire, people of the Lord, that you also may attain to this, that you may know him to be your father, that you may know yourself to be a son. To Mary, the Lord Jesus said, say unto my brethren, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, unto my God and your God. Where was that? That was in the garden. That was after the resurrection. Thus, that was the next step for the Lord Jesus. Thus, there were steps in his humiliation, and there were steps in his exaltation, just the same as there are steps in the life of God's children. Thus, it is also for his people that the knowledge of that ascension that is coming after, that it is following the knowledge of this resurrection. With what did that resurrection have to do? That resurrection that had to do with justification. Because in that resurrection, the Father has justified his Son. What does that mean to be justified? That means to be shown to be right with the law. Thus, when the Father has raised him from the dead, then the Father has displayed that he is right with the law. That law was not able to hold him in death. That is the testimony of the judge. That curse that is taken away, that every jot and every tittle of that law that is now paid. Justification. Thus, that has to do with whom? That justification that has to do with a judge. That is a forensic term that means it has to do with the court of law. And then after that he has received that justification, after he has been raised from the dead, then what is the Lord Jesus saying? He says, say unto my brethren, I go unto my Father and unto your Father. Thus, he now speaks about the reunion. He speaks not now about the judge, but he speaks now about his Father. Thus, the ascension that has much to do with the Father, that has much to do with reunion. The bringing back again, after that way is cleared by the judge, and that a man receives the right, then still there has to be that bringing into his communion. Thus we read it many times in this chapter, that he speaks about his Father. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. And in verse 5, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. We see it again in verse 11, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are, and so on. and then also in the words of our text, is then justification the only thing that is necessary before that there may be a reunion with the Father? No, then something else is also necessary. And what is that? That is sanctification. Because it was for the guilt of sin, but also because of the pollution of sin, that man had to be sent out of that paradise, and that he could not live any longer in that blessed communion with the Lord. And thus we read also in this chapter about sanctification, how that the Lord Jesus, he says, I sanctify myself. You cannot fathom that. But the Lord bear not only the guilt of sin, but he also bear that pollution of sin. And then he was busy to put both the guilt of sin and the pollution of sin away. And when that justification is complete, as well as that sanctification is complete, then what? Well, and then that way that is open again unto his Father in his ascension. But we read in our second thought that the Lord Jesus has a request. And what does he say? Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, and that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. We say a request, but actually it is much more than a request, because he says, I will. And what is the basis of that? That is merit. That is a lawful purchase of Christ. That is what has been contracted already in that stillness of eternity. And that is what has been agreed to already by the Father. That is now what has been accomplished by the Lord Jesus in the time, that everything that is finished, thus when it is purchased by him, and then it is impossible that the Father he will refuse the request of the Lord Jesus. That church that is his property, we read, he says, those whom thou hast given me. Thus he says, thine they were, and thou gavest them me. Thus they become his property. And what is taking place in a last will? Then we say, what happens to our property after we will die? And thus the Lord, in his last will, then he is also saying what his will is with that property that is now belonging unto him. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. Oh, you understand, that is, congregation, the opening of heaven for his church. He will bring them with him who have left the Lord in paradise and who have closed that way to go back unto him. But what does Paul say? He says he was raised again for our justification. Thus, it was not for his own justification, but it was for the justification of his church. And what does he say about the sanctification of his church? He says, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Thus, that justification and that sanctification that is completed by the Lord Jesus, we read here on behalf of his church. Thus, that way goes open unto that church, not because they desire it, not because they pray for it, that goes by fits and spurts. Oh, there is so much shortness in that desire. So often that desire is not present. And had it to be based upon that desire of that people, then it would be impossible that they enter there. But that is now based on the desire of Christ himself. He says, because I will it. Father, I will. There is the power. There is the efficacy. And that is why the glorification of that church of God, that is not uncertain. No, but that is absolutely sure. It is promised to the Son. It is bought by the Son. It is merited by the Son. And it is prosecuted also by his own prayer, by his own intercession. It is written in his will. That will that is not able to be changed. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. Those whom thou hast given me. Or whom will he bring back there? He will bring back none, but those who are given unto him by his Father. He will bring back there none but the elect. They are those for whom he has paid. They are those for whom he also prays. Because he says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world. Those whom thou hast given me. And not one of them is going to enter there on the basis of his own merit. Not one is going to enter there on the basis of his own righteousness, of his own wisdom, anything from themselves, but only because they are given unto him. That is why Peter will follow him, who said, I know not the man. And that is why Paul also will follow him, who has persecuted the church of God. And that is why the chiefest of the sinners in this world, they also will follow him. And then they will sing, even as we hope to sing. 308, stanzas 1 and 3. Not unto us, O Lord of heaven, but unto thee be glory given. In love and truth thou dost fulfill the counsels of thy sovereign will. Though nations fail thy power to own, yet thou dost reign, and thou alone. 1 and 3 of Psalter 308. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. What is then his will? That will is communion. That is communion with his people. That he may be in the same place with them. That he may be together with them. That he may reveal his heart unto them, that there may be a blessed, blessed communion. That is his desire. That is his desire even now with his people. But how hard it is to get it. Oh, just a little communion, because he has to urge them to set their heart on things above and not on the things on the earth. Oh, to get a little communion with that people who are so vain, who are so carnal, and whose treasure that is here below and that is not set on those things above. Oh, what has he to do to get a little communion from that people? Then he has to knock on the door of their heart. Then he has to call unto them, open unto me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with dew and my locks with the drops of the night. Oh, that wretched sloth. Oh, that lying, sleeping with those foolish virgins, that leaving him days without number. Oh, how difficult then we would say that is to get just a little communion with that people. Oh, the work of the Lord Jesus. Oh, to obtain that communion, the drawing, to draw them. Oh, that he will knock, that he will call, that he will persist, that he will put his hand, and then they will not arise. He will put his hand in there by the hole of the door. Oh, to leave a little of that myrrh behind. Oh, to get a little communion with that people, and that they may rise up from that bed of sloth. What does he say? He says, Father, I will that those whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. Oh, that they may be taken from that place, from all their idols, from all their lovers, that they would leave it all behind and that they would be just completely for me. Oh, that they would not go after their lovers anymore, but that they may be with me, that there may be no other distraction, that there may be no other worldly care, but that I may have them all for mine own. Oh, I will betroth them unto me in righteousness and in faithfulness. Then I will have them for myself. In this we see also his patience, his long-suffering, the self-denial of the Lord Jesus, because that is his will, that is his desire. But we can read how that he is willing, when it is his Father's will also to wait, because he says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Oh, then he is willing to wait his Father's time, though that desire that is burning within him, that they may be with him where he is. Oh, he has brought our human nature with him into heaven, opening that way for his people. But there is actually so little of that nature yet there in heaven, because he has brought it there himself. And then we can read of an Elijah, and we can read of an Enoch. And so that human nature that is there, but for the rest, then it is souls. And that human nature that is still lying in the earth, in the grave, all over the world, from the east to the west. But we read there is an actual urgency in heaven, because we can read of those souls that are under the altar and they are crying, oh Lord, how long? Oh, that they are waiting for that day of the resurrection of the dead, thus an urgency, and thus the world that is hastening on to its end, and that urgency may be fulfilled of those souls under the altar, but also the will and the desire of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Or he said to his disciples, it is expedient for you that I go away. But it was not the desire of the Lord to be separated from his church, no. And then he has said unto them, that he will yet remain with them with his Spirit. And yet, oh, then he is desiring that day. Oh, precious, in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Oh, that is the day that he may receive their soul. But precious also in the sight of the Lord is that resurrection from the dead. And when that will of Christ may be completely fulfilled, And when he will receive his heart's desire, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me may be with me where I am, that it may be but a temporary separation, and that may be going forward to that permanent union. Oh, he is desiring, why? That they may be together with him, we read, that they may behold my glory. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, and that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. All those disciples, and they have desired to see the Lord Jesus on the throne. But congregation, they will see him on the throne. Oh, it will not be an earthly throne. No, but they will see him on the heavenly throne. Oh, how little are the thoughts of God's people. They are so earthly and they are so carnal. But what great things that he has in store for his people. Oh, they desired him to sit upon that throne of glory. And they desired him to have the power over all his people. And he has taken that power upon that right hand of God over all the world. All those disciples, and they had never thought it. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, but is laid away for God's children. Oh, they do not know the smallest part of that glory. And so the Lord Jesus, he is looking forward to that day when that people shall be with him where he is, that, he says, they may behold my glory. And we read, John says, when he shall appear, then we shall see him as he is. Oh, what is that glory? That glory that is in a special way, his glory as mediator. Oh, he had a desire to return to his Father, because we have heard that the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, if ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto my Father, for my Father is greater than I. He knew what it was to be with his Father. We do not know that anymore. Because our knowledge, our understanding, that is so darkened. But the Lord Jesus knew what he had left. And he knew that communion with his Father to which he was returning. But now he has also desired something else. That is, not only that he may be with his Father, but he also desired that he may be with his church, that they may be with him, where he says, I am. And thus, he is going to bring them together. He is going to bring that church into the presence of his Father, that they may be with him, and that he may be with his Father, and that they all together may be one, he says. All that they may be together, that heavenly, that spiritual family. And then what? Oh, then he is going to rejoice in what? He is going to rejoice in the work of his hands, because that is what he has set out to do as the mediator of his church. That was to bring together again his Father with his elect. And so when that day will come to pass, oh, that shall be the glorious day for the Lord Jesus Christ. When he may rejoice in the work of his hands. And when he may see the fruit of all the labor of his hands. But not only will he rejoice. No, we read also his people are going to rejoice when they will see his glory. And that glory that will be seen, especially in that way of the mediator, they are going to rejoice in a new relation. a new relation because the Lord Jesus, he says, say unto my brethren, I ascend unto my Father and unto your Father. I ascend unto your Father. O congregation, that is a relation that was not possible through that first covenant. If that first covenant had been kept by our father Adam, then a man would have served the Lord, says Boston, as a servant to all eternity. He would have served him. But now there is a new relation. Now they are going to be following him, and they are going to be received up into glory, not as a servant, but they are going to be received up as a child. What does Paul say? He says, wherefore now you are no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, an heir of God through Christ. And because ye are sons, and then he hath sent forth also the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Oh, that is the final fruit of that work of that mediator. It is ending congregation in a new relation. It is ending in that blessed relation. It is ending in that comforting relation between a father and his son. And for this, Christ is going to receive the highest glory. Oh, one day, that church is going to fully realize the benefits that it has received in that Son of God. And then we can be sure eternity will not be long enough for them to behold his glory. O congregation, who can fathom what that ascension of the Lord Jesus means for his church? Because in that ascension, he returns to his Father. And with him, he is bringing the family of God. Oh, with him, he is bringing the sons of God. Or with him, he is bringing the children of God. And then when he will bring them, and then he will say, Father, I will that they whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, and that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me from the foundation of the world. Oh, that is a people. They have dealt congregation in their life with an angry judge. With an angry judge because of their own rebellion. Because of their own sin. That is a people. They have said in their life with that prodigal, I am no more worthy to be called thy son, but make me as one of thy hired servants. But now Christ as surety. Oh, he will show the Father something. He will show the Father what he has, how he has justified him in the resurrection of the dead. Oh, he will hand in, as it were, to that Father that receipt that he has received from him. And then he will say concerning that people, Father, I will. Oh, and then the arms of that Father, and they will go open unto that whole church that his son, he is bringing home with me, with him. And then they are going to gather around that throne. Oh, they shall behold his glory. Oh, they shall glorify. They shall magnify that mediator. world without end. O congregation, those angels, they have said unto the disciples, why are ye standing here gazing into heaven? O this same Jesus, who is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner from heaven again. Oh, what shall that day be? When he is appearing on the clouds of heaven, do you believe it, young people? Oh, that is so sure to come, as sure that he has told it before it came to pass, that he was leaving, that he was departing from them into heaven. We have heard it. So sure is that word of Christ going to come to pass again, that he is going to descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of a trumpet. Oh, then he is coming. What shall that day be? Oh, what shall that day be? When the resurrection shall take place, when all those dead bodies shall arise, and when they will stand before God. Oh, who can fathom multitudes, multitudes in that valley of decision? And then on the one side, oh, that angry judge, so he will appear, because this people, they would not have me to reign over them. Oh, then he will cast them away forever and forever. But then on that other side, oh, that church that is going to ascend also after him, we read that they will be caught up together. Oh, they will meet the Lord in the air. And so they will be forever with the Lord. O congregation, the greatest happiness of that people, that shall be what? Oh, that shall be, as Christ says, that they may be with me where I am. Oh, that is his desire, and that is by moments the desire of that people also here below. And it will one day and soon, that one day that is going to be so completely fulfilled, when they will be brought together once again and they will behold his glory. Oh, then they will come again into the presence of God, and then not as servants, but as sons of the Father, as adopted children by him, people of the Lord. Oh, do you desire? Do you desire to know something, that you are also a child? We do not read that. We do not hear that so often in our days. We can read it, how that it happened in days gone by. But oh, the blessing, oh, the comfort, when truly the Lord may give a man to know that I am his Father and that he is my Son. Oh, what is contained in that? Only think about that relation a little. Then in every affliction that people have to go through in this world, oh, then they may believe that it is not to their damnation, because every child, he knows even by an intuition that his Father, he is not there to destroy him, no, but his Father, he is there to chastise him. His Father, he is there to bring him back into that right way. Oh, when that church may know that they are a son. Oh, then they may taste a little honey on the end of the rod of the Lord. And when they have to undergo the chastisements of the Lord. Oh, then they may feel something a little of his blessed favor. Oh, then they may agree by times with his will. When they may say, it is now the will of my Father, and he will not place on me more than that I can bear. Oh, should I disagree now? Oh, are his ways not higher than my ways, and his thoughts higher than my thoughts? To know that I am a son, to know that he is my Father. Oh, that is to know that he will not forget me. Though I am outside of that sensible communion, oh, then the Lord says, can a mother forget her sucking child? and that she will not have compassion upon the son of her womb. Yea, she may forget, yet will I not forget. All to know a little bit, and that it is my Father, then there is rest. Oh, then there is rest, that they may know he will protect them in all that is coming against them. Because if God is for us, then who can be against us? And then to know all, to know that he is my Father, then the thought, the very thought, that his congregation so endearing. Oh, what a help, people of the Lord, that we would no longer have our affection set upon this earth, but that affection, when the thoughts are going out, then there will be a desire. That they may lay down this body of sin and death, and that they may be with him, that they may see his glory. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, instruct us in thy word of truth, for thou knowest all that it contains, but we are so ignorant. Oh, show it unto us. And our thoughts, they are so small. But thou doest such great things for thy people. Oh, thou who sittest at the right hand of thy Father and hast in store for thy children what shall be to their greatest surprise in that day when they will think to descend into that pit. And they shall be received by thee. O Lord, remember thy people. It is an afflicted and a poor people. O give them to trust a little in thy name. O set their feet upon that solid rock with knowledge for themselves. Then it shall be to thy honor. It shall be to their comfort. And wilt thou not deal with us after our many sins? Bring us safely to our places in this night. Give us thought and meditation on thy word of truth. Desire to be in thy house upon thy day. For Jesus' sake, amen. 183:1-4. O Lord, thou hast ascended on high in might to reign. Captivity thou leadest, a captive in thy train. And what follows in 1:4 of 183. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.